Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be discussing the meaning of beauty. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And with that said, let me welcome my co-host, Kat. Kat, how are you tonight? Kat, can you hear me? Something is screwy in Timbuktu-y. Let's try this again. Hold on, folks. Kat, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. That was kind of strange. So, yay! There's Kat. Yeah, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you, David. Thank you for including me in the show.
It wouldn't be the same show without you, that's for sure.
I love the little saying, something screwy in Timbuktu-y. That's hilarious. I'm going to use that.
I'm a little punchy tonight, so that's about the best I could do. Welcome, as always. And
thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you with me. And I'm really thrilled with the topic that you brought up tonight. Kat offered the topic. And we welcome you, listeners and callers, to help generate topics, suggest topics. This show is meant for you, and we want to raise those issues, those questions, those comments, those topics that you would like to have addressed. So please take advantage of it and go to our Facebook page, and I'm going to turn it over to Kat to talk about the Facebook page since she so expertly crafted that for us.
I'm not sure an expert I am, but anyway, yeah. So the healing circle.
Take it and run with it.
Okay, I'm taking it. Thank you. That's mine. The healing circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards is our Facebook page. We'd love for you to get on there, click like, share it with your friends. Most of all, we'd love it for you to utilize it. So. For example, you can find today's show advertised on the Facebook page. And if you scroll down, you can put your thoughts into the comments and we can read them out on the air. The show is advertised throughout Facebook on different platforms, groups and pages. However, we don't check all of them. There's too many when we're doing the show. So if you would like to have your comment read out on the air, you need to go to our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Click on the current show. It is dated in the Australian date format because I'm the person who does it all the time and I always get confused with the American date format. So it is currently dated as the 3rd of the 5th, 2021, which is today's date in Australia. And, you just comment down there and we'll read your comments out on the air. If you would like to tell us about a topic you'd want us to talk about, you can always send us a private message or just add it into one of the comments of the latest shows and we'll see that in our notifications. Over to you, David.
Well, thank you. I was going to just start off with the dictionary definition of beauty and what is the true meaning of beauty, because they seem to not necessarily coincide. The definition of beauty only seems to scratch at the surface of what beauty can be. It says it's a combination of qualities such as shape, color, or form that pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight. And then I was reading that true beauty is a state of being authentic and sincere in a way that extends love to yourself and others. I like that. It feels real, safe, alive, playful, flowing, authentic, life-giving. And the truth doesn't mean that beauty never has anything to do with our clothes or bodies or faces. So that kind of discounts what the dictionary definition of beauty is. So I'll turn it back to you, Kat. What does beauty mean to you?
Can you say that again? Because I really liked it. You said a whole bunch of adjectives there.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It feels real, safe, alive, playful, flowing, authentic, and life-giving.
I love that.
I do too.
I love that. So,
really,
yeah.
It expands. It takes me into some sensibility about beauty that I'd never even considered, and it's real. I mean, it makes it perfect sense to me.
Yeah, and I think the big thing there is authentic.
I do too.
Our Western culture, really, for maybe 50 years, has really focused on superficial beauty and major pressure on female beauty.
Yes.
But it's always superficial beauty. And that can really be tiresome, especially if you don't fit the mold. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I was just going to comment, you know, there's that old expression, beauty's only skin deep, and that is so true. And what you said about feminine beauty, going back to the definition that I gave, the example was, I was struck by her beauty. So there you go.
Yeah, but men are beautiful as well. So
they sure are. Yeah.
You know, you can't just say there's feminine beauty, but there's something very majestic about a masculine beauty. When you think about, for example, just taking it away from humans and looking at animals for a minute, if we were to look at a bird of paradise from the Papua New Guinean forest, we would see majestic, masculine beauty. So beauty is different to different souls, isn't it? It's not all boxed up in the same package. And, and for what one person thinks is beautiful, it's certainly not necessarily what another person thinks. I know there's a trend within sort of young women under 35 to plump their lips up to the point that they kind of resemble a fish. The problem there is it looks bizarre.
It's taken it too far.
It does. It looks bizarre. It doesn't look beautiful. And when you see before photos in their natural state, they were often very beautiful, and they've distorted that beauty in an attempt to enhance it, but instead it's distorted. And so just to get the whole superficial thing out of the way first and foremost, I think that makeup, for example, I wear makeup, I don't wear it every day, but I do wear it, and I wear it to put my game face on a little bit when I'm going out and I have to put my best foot forward. It's part of getting dressed. as far as I'm concerned. It's not a vanity thing, but rather part of getting dressed to look as my best self. And it's also a way of enhancing my natural features, because I like to have a very natural palette. I don't like to wear colors that are sort of out there, mainly because I don't know how to do makeup. If I knew how to do it, then that'd be different. But I don't, so I just stick to stuff that looks natural and just naturally enhances me. I do like to watch, there's a lass on YouTube called Bailey Sarian who does beauty makeup and true crime. And she does amazing things with all sorts of interesting colours, and she looks fantastic. So I really enjoy her. But what I enjoy more than her ability to put her makeup on is that she's a great storyteller and her personality comes through. And I think that that's the thing, is that if you don't fit the mold in your face or your body that the beauty magazines say is what is supposed to be beautiful, work on your personality. You know, Napoleon Hill talks about having a positive mental attitude and having a good personality and working on your personality. That there is the aspect of you that is the most beautiful, because when you start to really allow that personality to be positive, it shines from your heart out. And I mean, there's an Australian expression, ugly as a hat full of assholes.
Say that again.
She could have a face like that. The expression is ugly as a hat full of assholes.
Oh.
Where I'm going with that is, yeah, they're not particularly an attractive part of the body. Where I'm going with that is that, you know, you could think that you have a face that looks like that, but it doesn't matter if your heart is shining through your personality. You'll be incredibly beautiful to anybody who takes time to get to know you. And more beautiful than somebody who has the flowing hair and the plump lips and, you know, the augmented body. You are most beautiful when you shine from the inside out. So that's how to enhance your natural beauty. Good clothing, well-groomed, they're important. But really, it's that internal beauty that is the most important to me anyway. And it seems to be. I remember watching, I'll stop rambling in a moment. I just want to talk about one more thing, and that just to drive my point home. And that's, there used to be some weird little dating show on Australian TV where they'd get a bunch of guys who were basically nerds, and they'd get a bunch of girls who were the opposite, and they'd try and get them to matchmake. And this one year, I didn't watch it very much because I'm not into that kind of gossipy show, but this one year there was a girl on there that all the boys loved. They absolutely adored her. She was pretty on the outside, but more so she had time for them and she talked to them, and she didn't think herself superior to them in any way like the other girls did, and they were falling over themselves for her. Absolutely falling over themselves for, and it was because she was gentle and kind and loving. And that's the thing, you know, with feminine beauty, a man, he wants that, as far as I can understand. And I'm not just talking heterosexual men, because we're not necessarily talking about, you know, romantically mating here. Just in general, there is something about the masculine really needing the feminine to be gentle and kind and loving and nurturing, because the feminine plays that role in a way that makes the masculine feel like it's coming home. And that is so important. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is, whether you are fluid in your gender identity or not. That part aspect of the feminine is, to me, the most important. The masculine in its beauty is strong, safe. It makes the feminine feel safe and secure. It has a majestic outer radiance of strength, but an inner softness and kindness too. And the feminine seeks that kindness because there's refuge there. So it's like the masculine is the external bricks and mortar of the house, and the feminine is the hearth, the place where the food is made, so that the two work together and one envelops the other. There is so much beauty in both of these two aspects that, you know, we need to remember that. And a well-groomed man is very, very attractive. Very attractive, no matter what your sexual orientation is. It's very attractive to see somebody, anyone, who puts that time into themselves. So I'm going to stop rambling now and hand it over to you.
Well, you know, everything that you say resonates for me. I was thinking as you were talking earlier about what people do to try to enhance themselves, physically, that's a beautiful thing. I think it depends on the reason it's done. I think for some people, they're just putting on a mask when they put on makeup, and they're afraid to let their inner beauty shine, and they're so focused on the physical aspects of beauty that they, in essence, negate the more important part, which is what comes from within, the personality, if you will, that you talked about, or the beauty of the heart, the beauty of the soul. There are two more definitions of beauty here that I wanted to read that I think are quite lovely. One says, it is the quality that provides pleasure to the senses or to the mind by behavior or attitude. And that, to me, speaks volumes, because handsome does. Beauty is as beauty does. It's not what we project physically. It's what comes from within. And, you know, if we're going to be congruent and beautiful all the way around, we do need to be congruent with our values, with attitudes, qualities like compassion and cooperation, being kind to one another. I often think that I think of the golden rule from the Bible, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I've said that if only people could live by that standard, we wouldn't need the Ten Commandments, which are part of the Judaic heritage. The other definition I have here says the quality or aggregate of qualities in a person or thing that gives pleasure to the senses, or pleasurability exalts the mind or spirit. And that makes me think of natural beauty, nature, all of these things that do raise my spirit. All of creation is beautiful in its own way. And, you know, it's one thing to think about human beauty and all of the different ways we can look at that, but really consider the wonders of the universe, the wonders of the world. There are so many things that lift my spirit because I can see beyond the imperfections that exist in this life to things that seem more perfect, that are outside of myself, if you will, or deeply innate within myself. So those are just a few thoughts that I had. I have other thoughts too, but I'll leave it at that for the moment and see if you want to reflect on any of those things that I just said, Kat.
I love what you're talking about, the nature, beauty in nature and the universe, because there's a balance between chaos and order. And nature will, she will only do what is the most efficient. She doesn't muck around. She doesn't gather too much. There's only ever too much when there's something out of balance. And, you know, so beauty is incredible in nature, and, you know, it's in the solar system. It's not just in the planet herself. But when we're looking at our environment, it is that balance that makes it beautiful. It's things that appeal back to it, just the bones to some degree, and then it's aspects of artistry that come out that makes an environment beautiful. For example, you can just imagine a library where the bookshelves are beautifully tailored and the books are all in order. The beauty is in order. It is not in chaos. But the most beautiful thing has a little bit of a quirk. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think of that model. She's got a big mole on her face, not Christie Brinkley. She came from the 80s and 90s. Anyway, she was not back.
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford.
Is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah, yeah. She was knocked back in the beginning because she had that mole, and then somebody said, no, actually, that enhances you. It's that one thing that's sort of out of place normally that actually enhances your face. And they went with her, and she was, you know, they made her a star because everyone's, like, falling all over themselves. She's got a beauty spot. And that's the thing. True beauty has, it isn't in absolute perfect proportion. There is a tiny bit of chaos in the order. That's what makes it beautiful. You know, when I think about a clear blue sky, it's nice, but if there's a bit of cloud in there, it just gives some sort of interest. To me, beauty is peace. When I rest my eyes, I see peace. When I see chaos, even though we talked about it time and time again about the basic good, and I can see that, you know, boxes and stuff in the boxes, they're not trying to hurt me. They're just good. When there is chaos, it makes me feel unease, and that unease means that it's not beauty. There's not, and I need to bring back the beauty. So when I peel back all the stuff, I start to uncover the beauty and I start to feel at ease. And I think that's what beauty means to me when I talk about it, is it means that I feel at ease, I feel at peace when I'm looking at something. And when I'm surrounded by that sense of beauty, that which means ease and peace to me, and gives me joy and makes me feel satisfied, I feel good. I feel like I can thrive more. I feel like I can make more and more beauty. And it means also I want to work hard to keep that beauty. So that might be doing the washing up. kitchen. So I can keep that ease. That's what I mean by keeping that beauty.
Well, beauty can be related to all of our senses, I think. You know, when you talked about washing up, I was thinking, yes, yes, please. I like bodies that smell good. So there comes my sense of smell into it. I was thinking about when you were talking about Cindy Crawford and the mole, which people might view as an imperfection. I remember something that a friend of mine once said in a spiritual group that I belong to, and it has to do with the fact that we as humans all are broken at a certain level. The challenges, the sorrows, the disappointments that come in life, the traumas we may experience, they all break us at a certain level, emotionally and otherwise. And some have more heartache than others. But he talked about how with all the fractured pieces of ourselves, when we put them back together, we're never going to be whole and complete as we were when we came into this life, but we'll be like beautiful mosaics. And so there is beauty in imperfection too. That's what I'm deducing from what he was saying, and that it can be even more beautiful, a work of art, if you will. And you did talk about art, and I was thinking about how much I enjoy art as an expression of beauty. I am blessed with having several beautiful paintings in my home, and then some reproductions of more famous paintings. I love the Impressionistic era especially. I love the French Impressionists. I like Van Gogh too. And, you know, that was certainly a man who was very fractured at a soul level, but he created such beautiful art. And so great beauty can come out of some of the things that seem darker within us or within life. And, you know, new forests grow, new life grows from forests that have been consumed by fire. We seem to need natural disasters to bring new life. So there are all kinds of different ways to look at beauty that don't necessarily have to do with something that's perfect as we might want it to be, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about not putting pressure on yourself to be perfect, isn't it?
Mm.
This is good enough. Is beautiful enough.
Mm-hmm.
You start to really cause yourself problems when you go over the top, and then next thing, you've destroyed the beauty that you already had sitting there in the good enough category. You know, we go back to those girls that are plumping their lips up to the extreme, thinking that that's what makes them beautiful, but it doesn't. It's the heart that makes you beautiful and how you express that through your personality. There's a Navajo blessing, may you walk in beauty. And I really love that because it's offering you the idea. To me, it's offering you the idea that you will find beauty wherever you are, and whatever that means to you. Because without beauty, we can't feel a sense of safety and security. There's a good psychology that goes with it, and I'm not a psychologist, but I'd like to hear one, an expert, talk about why beauty is so important to the psyche in particular. But it feels to me that the answer is that with that sense of beauty surrounding you, there comes a sense of benevolence, and that's what we need so that we can thrive. Does that make sense?
It does. Absolutely. I think that benevolence is, you know, such a beautiful quality to possess and to behold in another. I think of benevolence as being a quality that comes from a much larger source than within ourselves. It ebbs and flows from the universe. And, I mean, there are some things that ebb and flow that don't feel good, but I do believe that we live primarily in a benevolent universe. There's light and there's dark, and a lot of people think that light is more beautiful than darkness, but darkness is beautiful too, and we need them both to have a place of balance. And to me, balance is beauty. Symmetry is beauty. I was trying to think of what I was going to say during tonight's show, and now all kinds of ideas are starting to come to me. And once again, I thank you for the topic, Kat. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Well. I'm starting to get lost in words because I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I'm not thinking enough about what I say. I'm going to say next, which is not good, because when you're on the radio, you need to listen to one person, what they're saying, but then also formulate what you have to say as well, so we can keep flowing. And
right.
I'm sorry,
right,
I'm letting you down there.
No, that's all right. You're not.
Oh my goodness. I need to pick up where we are.
Just draw a new thread.
Yeah,
we're building a tapestry here, right?
We are, yeah. You know, things that are old are beautiful, and when we look at the way society is focused on youth and beauty, we don't give old things a chance to be beautiful. But then in interior design, the whole distressed look seems to have come in and out of fashion a fair bit over the years, and so people will distress jeans, distress furniture, you know, make things look old because they see the beauty in that. And you know, that means that something that is beginning to deteriorate still has some level of beauty in it, and it can still be seen as beautiful. And I think that that's really important to remember when you're growing older, which is inevitable and quite a privilege to grow older. I recently lost somebody that I was friends with when I was in my teens, and she was in her early 40s. She just... when I went to sleep, didn't wake up, had a brain aneurysm from what I understand. So that, you know, when you can look at aging as a privilege and not as a thing to fight, you can start to really embrace the beauty of it. And when we think about something like, for example, a leather bag, as it gets older and more worn in, it actually becomes more of a beautiful thing to us. And so we ourselves become more beautiful, because if we remain kind and happy in our hearts, our faces, even though they may sag and wrinkle, still have so much beauty to show. I think that that's really an important thing to remember, that you may be aging, but you're still beautiful. Mm. Things that make me happy aren't necessarily things that are brand new. I've got crystals that are thousands of years old sitting in my house that Mother Earth has created under extreme conditions of pressure, and out comes this amazing, beautiful crystal. It's not brand new. It wasn't manufactured yesterday. It's a thing that's come from nature that is very old and is my privilege to have in my home until I die, and then it will go to whoever is the right person for it, or it will go back to nature herself. And that's the thing that we have to remember. We can't kid ourselves that beauty only comes in the new. It just doesn't. Water is beautiful. The elements are beautiful. They're friend or foe, but they're also very beautiful. Light is beautiful. Too much of it's not, but light is beautiful. And you were talking about the dark and beauty in the dark, and it made me think about my aquarium hobby. One of the things that aquarists often do is put a black background, and I've done this for two of my tanks. I put a black background. So I've got black film I put on the back of the aquarium. And what it does is it gives, also allows the plants to really pop and the fish to really stand out. So there's that darkness actually is a, trying to find the right words here, it's a way of allowing the beauty to shine, because it gives it that black, that background, and that stability for the beauty to bounce back to me. And I know at nighttime when I'm in the dark, it might just be the way I am, but I see a lot of color in the darkness. I see energy color in the darkness, and I see so much beauty in the night sky. So I can't imagine that darkness does not have its own beauty.
Well,
I think
we've
seen that.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I was just thinking about the aurora borealis. The black sky allows it to I don't know what I'm trying to express, but it's beautiful. Those colors are just beautiful against the black sky. They just pop out. You wouldn't see them in the light. You need to have the darkness in order for those colors to be vivid.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, everything's energy and everything vibrates. So one of the things about beauty is that it vibrates at speed where it seems can be appreciated, but it's not too fast or too slow depending on the expression of the beauty. So it often goes back to that feeling of wonder. Those words that you read out at the beginning of the show, feelings of wonder, authenticity, I forget all the words that you read out, splendor, contrast, simplicity. You know, even something like routine can allow us to have beauty because it simplifies things. And, you know, it's not just that. When I think about a football game, for example, being Scottish, we always grew up with soccer, football. And when there's a really good chain of events and the players are on a roll and they score a goal, sometimes we say, oh, that was pretty to watch. And you know, that's because the sequence of events that brought about the goal were really beautiful in the way that they were executed. So it's not just a thing that is beautiful. Sometimes it's a sequence of events that bring about a result that are very, very beautiful as well. And, you know, we can look at other things that are beautiful. The tasting of food and drink can be quite beautiful if it's done correctly, and probably not cooked by me, but unless certainly, you know, I've gone to restaurants where the food looked beautiful but it tasted terrible, and I've gone to restaurants where the food is okay and I felt like I was nourished. And that to me is more beautiful. Again, that's the internal, isn't it? When you get the balance of it looking good and tasting good and nourishing you, then that's the ultimate when it comes to that. Can you think of other things where there's a sequence that is beautiful?
a sequence that's beautiful. Music. Particularly, I'm thinking of like a fugue. You know what a fugue is?
No, enlighten me.
Well, I'm going to keep it very simple because I'm not a musical theorist, but Bach wrote a lot of fugues. There are a lot of composers from the Baroque era that wrote fugues, and it's like a melody line that keeps getting repeated by different voices, and it varies. It varies the theme along the way, and I suppose the term counterpoint would come into play where, for lack of a better description, it's almost like a round, except that, like row, row, row your boat, where one person starts it off and the next person starts it off, except it's not exactly the same tune. It's something that I know I'm not doing justice to it, and that's all right, too. Go to YouTube and type in fugue for anybody that's listening and see what you come up with.
How do you spell it?
F-U-G-U-E. And then you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about because I'm tired and I'm not doing justice to it. I talk about music because it is sequential, and yet it's a sequence that seeks expression, and it expresses itself beautifully, and it creates a feeling of beauty within me. I'm trying to think of other things. I'm drawing blanks, but that's the first thing that came to mind when you asked me that question.
So I've looked up the dictionary definition of a fugue, a musical form consisting essentially of a theme repeated a fifth above and a fourth below to new first statement.
Okay.
So a fifth above would be five keys above the main key that the piece is set in, and a fourth below would be four keys below there. So if we were setting the key of the music in middle C, we would then put it, you'd have someone singing it five keys higher and someone else singing it four keys below. So you would essentially have three, would that be right? You'd have three harmonizing together?
It can be even more than that, I believe, but that's a good
question.
You know
what it reminds me of?
What?
If each strand of music was a thread, it would be a weave, like braiding a hair. It would be all weaved together. Yeah.
Now,
interesting.
That's something else that would be sequential, weaving or knitting. Those are other things that create beauty, and the process of doing it is cumbersome and not necessarily beautiful until it's completed. I don't know. I'm losing the thread here. Speaking of
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in and out today, aren't we? Oh, well. One of the things that I think is beautiful is an expression of service or an act of service towards someone else, be they human, animal, plants, the environment. An act of service is an expression of beauty, especially if it is a benevolent act of service that is only self-serving in the step of seeking satisfaction in helping another. Then, it is a deep act of beauty. because, you know, we don't find that real satisfaction in life until we find a way to help others, whoever they may. Suddenly, you know, we start to feel healed. We start to become someone greater than we were. Reminds me of that show, I don't know if it's still on TV, Pitbulls and Parolees, where they'd get guys from who are on parole who'd been in jail and get them to look after dogs and get them to go out and save them from the community, you know, if they were caught up in some trouble or something. And suddenly here's this person who has had troubles in their life and have been, you know, focused really on themselves for a long time for whatever reason, now have somebody else, somebody who's innocent, an animal, a dog, who gives unconditional love, and they've got to look after them, and they've got to be accountable too. And it brings the beauty out of these people. And that's the heart. That's that part within that is often hidden. Some people feel ashamed of it for whatever reason. But those who can radiate it, as long as you have a disposition that you're not completely amenable, because then you get walked all over. You can stand up for yourself. When you radiate that internal beauty, and you give acts of service, and you surround yourself with beauty in your environment, and there's a lot of peace, then this is the way of being blessed and blessing others. It's a radiant expression of life. And, you know, it's really only something humans can do on this planet. You can't really go for an animal doing that, though. We have seen animals help others. They can certainly do that, but by and large, it is a human thing to do acts of service. So, and we talked about, if you want to listen to our show about animals and what we can learn from animals, then just click on last week's show in the thread on the Facebook page, and you'll see that we do appreciate animals before anyone jumps down my throat. And we certainly know that animals do acts of service. So I was just talking in generalities there. But, beauty is very, very startling, stimulating and soothing. I remember, and also sometimes it can be a bit frightening. And I mean that in its scope. When you come across an incredible gorge, and it can sort of overtake you a little bit. Oh my gosh, whoa. And then you start to find your bearings, because there's so much stimulating and filling you. You have to sort of find your bearings and remember to ground yourself, and then you can get your place with it. It's interesting, isn't it? When we start to unpack this little tiny subject, so much can come out of it.
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, that sounds like the kind of awe-inspiring beauty that can be just overwhelming to the senses. And there was one other thing I wanted to share that I read tonight, and I think it should... people might want to consider framing it in different ways. What it says, it's important to cultivate beauty in your life because it exists as your closest physical connection to God, or to all that is, or to Goddess or universe, whatever. But what it goes on to say is it aligns you with your true nature and that of your Creator, and it soothes the soul and makes you happy and bring so many rewards. I thought that was interesting, because I think most people, other than real diehard atheists, would agree that there is something greater than ourselves in this life and this universe, and that that is something that is awesome and is inspiring and brings us a sense of meaning, even as we may feel so small and incomplete. On the other hand, it may fill us up and make us feel complete. And to me, I believe that I am part of all it is, just as all that is part of me. Or another way of framing it is that God is within me as I am within God, and therefore I am God, as we all are, because we're all part of that power greater than ourselves. And so when I can get into that place, that awesome place, then I am aligning with my true nature, which is all that is. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, Kat.
Yeah, and then that true nature, which is all that is the something and the nothing.
Yes.
And from that place, then the true, authentic self can begin to shine, because you've brought it back to the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I just wanted to say, I'm looking at the time. We need to wrap up soon, but go ahead and finish your thought, please.
Okay. So something you said along there made me think about things that are done that are only practical. And when you think about sort of, like industrial strength, just made for practical reasons only, that sort of stuff, it's unbalanced. It does a job, but it does not have any beauty to it. It has goodness in it, but it does not have any beauty. And that's when we have something that is just masculine. When we have something that was made really only for the sake of being pretty, it may not have any practical element to it. And it was a great idea, but it has no practical element. So it falls apart. It doesn't work. That is the feminine aspect. But when we bring the two together, we create something that is practical and beautiful. Then we have something we can appreciate and enjoy for a very long time. So, you know, different people approach things differently. Some people just look at the practicalities, but in doing that, they forget the aesthetics. Some people just look at the aesthetics and forget the practicalities. I'm talking about bringing them both together and how that will actually enhance your life. And that's what beauty does. So I think that when we're looking at beauty, we also need to remember to balance it with practicality, because it can become a little bit overwhelming when you've got this really great thing. It's beautiful, but it's absolutely useless. what is the point? It just ends up in the corner covered in dust, because it doesn't serve a purpose. And that's what we need to remember, is that practical and beautiful need to be good bedfellows. And they can be. You know, I've got a screen up on my veranda that has all ivy woven into it. And it's very, very beautiful, but it serves a practical sense of beautifying the house a bit, but also giving privacy. And, you know, so it has that practical and that beautiful element to it. And that's what we need to balance.
Very good. Good point. Well, I'm going to leave it to you to wrap up with a meditation, if you'd be so kind.
Okay, let's do that. So let's have a few little wriggles. Get yourself comfy. Feet flat on the floor if you're sitting. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. And let's have a little imagine time. You're dreaming. Please imagine that. And in your dream, it's a hot day. And you're thirsty and you need to cool off. And you come across a beautiful waterfall with a pool. It's furnished with ferns and flowers and tropical plants. The waterfall's not really high. It's just enough that it's comfortable to listen to the water and see it fall. The sound is relaxing. And there's a rock that looks like a good seat, and you can sit there and dangle your feet in the water. And where the water is near you, it's quite still. It's a little way away from the waterfall, so that the water is quite still near you. And when you look down, you see your reflection. Take a deep breath and focus on your heart as you breathe in. And then as you breathe out, let the strength of your heart come out and be expressed in your face as you look at yourself. If you're blowing up a balloon, but you're blowing up your heart and pushing it into your face, you're safe, you're secure, and you're comfortable. Your heart is so strong and kind. It's loving, and it has a sense of who you are. It knows who you are, and you feel more and more at peace every time you push your heart into your face and you see the reflection of your heart through your face in the water. And you're seeing your own inner beauty. And now there's somebody that you love coming, and they're sitting opposite you. And what I'd like you to do now is to keep your heart in your face and to look at them and show your heart's beauty to them through your face. And as they see it, they feel it. And it makes their heart light up. And their heart instantly shines through their face back at you. And now together look around. The heart of everything that is alive is pulsing back at you. The water is alive. The rocks are alive, the plants, everything's alive and pulsing back at you at the same rate of your heart, the same vibration, and all of your hearts are beating at once. How beautiful are you? You are reflecting your own beauty out, and your own beauty is reflecting back into you, through everyone and everything around you. True beauty is not just to be the whole, but to share. There's an appreciation of beauty, that we share beauty to ourselves and to others back at us. Your heart is your most truest beauty. And so bring yourself back into your chair now, back into this room. And know that you can bring that beauty out at any time, and you can reflect it out into the environment, and it will reflect back at you. And you'll see how others appreciate the real, true beauty of you, and they reflect their own beauty back to you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Kat, and thank you all for listening tonight. Please join us again next week at the same day and time, and please offer some suggestions to us via our Facebook page. So, Kat, I wish you a good week, a good day.
Yes, good evening to you over in North America, and make sure that you click like on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks to area code 951 who just tuned in and tuned out. Oh, well, hopefully you'll join us again. All right, Kat, until next week, God bless.
Goodbye.